They said I could have 4 minutes, and I objected. I said I couldn't clear my throat in 4 minutes. And they said, well, you got a business testimony, and you got a small business, you get a small amount of time. You should be on some of these planning sessions when they plan these programs. It's a nightmare. I received Christ down in the mountain south of here when I was 12 years old. My friends still kid me about being baptized in a cold, rocky bottom mountain stream. It really was true. But for the next 22 years, Christ was not real to me. And I heard a businessman who's here today speak in a church in Purcell, Oklahoma. And I don't know what he talked about, but he said, Christ can be real to you. Christ can be as real to you as your wife or your children, as your mother or your father, as your son or your daughter. And Christ was not real to me like that. And I set about trying to find out why. And Charlie Riggs in Oklahoma City during the Billy Graham Crusade in 1956 started pointing me to a walk with Christ. He asked me when I prayed. And I said, well, when I get in trouble, you know. I didn't have any prayer life. He said, you got a Bible? I said, yeah, I got a Bible. When do you read it? Well, it quickly developed I'd never read it. And he suggested I start getting up a few minutes earlier and spending some time with Jesus Christ as a person. It changed my life. Christ became very real to me. Within 3 weeks, I had a little six-year-old boy that said, Mom, said, Daddy doesn't yell at me anymore in the morning. I wonder why. Now, the next 2 years were the most glorious, joyous years of our life. And when I got out of college, I had two ambitions. One was to get a war over with, and one was to make $1 million before I was 40 years old. Well, we got back from the war and went into dime store business for ourselves after a couple of years. We weren't actually undercapitalized. We had $6,000. And after 4 years, we owed $250,000. So a friend of mine that I owed more money to than I was worth, he said, you remind me of Winston Churchill. And I swelled up and I said, oh, is that right? He said, yes. He said, during the Battle of Britain, when he was speaking of the RAF, Winston Churchill said, at no time in history has so many owed so much to so few. He said, I don't know of any time in my business history that one man has owed so many for so long. But we did prosper in the dime store business, and we had 7 stores located in a couple of states, and we were making an awful lot of money. We'd never taken the Lord into our business, or we'd been tithing since we were 14. I'd grown up, I thought that was a way of life. But I'd never asked the Lord to have any part in my business. You see, I didn't need Him. I didn't put it in those words, but I was smart. If you didn't think so, you asked me, and I'd tell you how smart I was. I wanted to be a successful, dynamic young businessman and work my way to the top of the heap. And then I started walking with the Lord, and I'd heard these glowing testimonies, how, you know, when you receive Christ and start walking with Him, that everything turns out glorious. We were gloriously going bankrupt. The next 2 years after I started trying to walk with the Lord, the business began losing sales and losing profits in an ever-increasing spiral downward at an alarming rate. By 1959, we owed $262,000. We had 4 stores left out of 7. 3 of them were losing money, and a warehouse was losing money. Pat, I was with you about that time. I owed $78,000 personal notes to friends at 10% interest. How many friends can a man have? But a friend of mine named Dr. Charles Farrell came through town one night, and he and Gene Warren and I had a good meal together and some prayer and fellowship. The next morning he called me and he said, Jack, he said, I didn't know you were in such bad shape. I said, who told you? He said, Gene Warren. I said, that makes 4 of us. There's you and Gene and me and God. I said, my creditors haven't found out yet. And I said, he said, how bad is it? I said, it's hopeless. And it's just hopeless. I said, there's no way out but bankruptcy. We've been putting it off and putting it off because I've always felt that was a way to cheat somebody legally. I said, but there's no way out. He said he had a buddy in California, had the same problem, and he had ulcers. And he finally come to the point, he said, Lord, he said, now, I put myself in this position because of my own greed for money. I said, that's me. He said, I owe more than I have. I said, that's me. He said, I have ulcers. I said, I don't have them yet, but I wake up in the middle of the night shaking. And he said, but Lord, he said, I'm your child. And he said, Jack, do you know 1 Peter 5:7? And I'd memorized it, you know, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. He said, have you ever done that? It was a long silence. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever taken this verse into your life and lived it? Cast all of your care on Jesus Christ because He cares for you? I hadn't. At least in my business, I hadn't. And I said, Chuck, I can't do it. I said, I got myself into this mess. I'll have to get myself out. He said, would you make it a matter of prayer? And I said, yeah, I sure will. For the next 6 weeks, almost hourly, this was my prayer, that I would be able to cast all of my care on Jesus Christ. Chuck Farrell had the audacity to suggest that God cared, number one, and number two, that he would show me the way to go if I had the guts to depend on it. I don't know of any other way to say it. And I can't tell you even what happened because it doesn't make sense from a businessman's viewpoint. But during the next 6 weeks, darkness was turned into light and hopelessness into optimism. And the load was still there, gentlemen, but I wasn't carrying it anymore. And I finally got to the point where I could say, Lord, if you want me to go bankrupt, you just pull the plug and I'll go down the drain because my pride's the only thing keeping me from it. Maybe that's the best thing. And I'll make a deal with you, Lord. I'll keep working harder than ever. But you're going to have to take care of this worry department because it's killing me. And we still have that same agreement. And every time I start worrying, I said, Lord, forgive me. You know, I'll work and you worry. During the next month or two, the following things happened, none of which makes sense. We sold two stores for $73,000 without either one of the people even asking to see the books. Both of them were losing money. One chain had 400 stores that bought it. We applied for one single little display as a wholesaler out at an air base in Oklahoma City. Just one little display, 16 inches across. And a couple of weeks later in the mail, we got a catalog listing all the air bases and army bases from the Gulf of Texas to Canada through the middle part of the country. And they said, how many of these can you serve? I was in the back end of West Rogers' warehouse with a space about half as big as this room, not quite half as big. We had $13,000 worth of stock and owed $14 on it. Had one man working for us. But you know, my business is no problem for the Lord. It took me a long time to figure that out. Now, it's just been an exciting adventure walking with him since that time. A couple of months ago, well, the head man over this army business that I serve now, our company serves in 7 states, he called me in and he said, Jack, he said, if they change a rule in the Pentagon, he said, you're out of business. He said, what are you going to do about it? If I call you up someday and say 97% of your business is gone. And I said, Henry, I'll shoot up a short prayer and I'll say, Lord, I sure appreciate you getting me out of debt with this good business during the last 5 years. And if you'll point me down which road you want me to go, I'll head that direction. Because you see, the business isn't really important. And the fact that all the debts were paid off last April, that's not really important either. But the important thing is, fellas, I've learned to depend upon Jesus Christ instead of the business. And if I go broke next week, and I may, never know. But you see, he's still in business. And he'll point me which direction that he wants me to go. I'd like to recommend him to you as the master navigator. He's never charted a course wrong. Thank you. They said I could have 4 minutes, and I objected. I said I couldn't clear my throat in 4 minutes. And they said, well, you got a business testimony, and you got a small business, you get a small amount of time. You should be on some of these planning sessions when they plan these programs. It's a nightmare. I received Christ down in the mountain south of here when I was 12 years old. My friends still kid me about being baptized in a cold, rocky, bottom mountain stream. It really was true. But for the next 22 years, Christ was not real to me. And I heard a businessman who's here today speak in a church in Purcell, Oklahoma. And I don't know what he talked about, but he said, Christ can be real to you. Christ can be as real to you as your wife or your children, as your mother or your father, as your son or your daughter. And Christ was not real to me like that. And I set about trying to find out why. And Charlie Riggs in Oklahoma City during the Billy Graham Crusade in 1956 started pointing me to a walk with Christ. He asked me when I prayed. And I said, well, when I get in trouble, you know. And I didn't have any prayer life. He said, you got a Bible? I said, yeah, I got a Bible. When do you read it? Well, it quickly developed I'd never read it. And he suggested I start getting up a few minutes earlier and spending some time with Jesus Christ as a person. It changed my life. Christ became very real to me. Within 3 weeks, I had a little 6-year-old boy that said, Mom, said, Daddy doesn't yell at me anymore in the morning. I wonder why. Now, the next 2 years were the most glorious, joyous years of our life. And when I got out of college, I had two ambitions. One was to get a war over with, and one was to make $1 million before I was 40 years old. Well, we got back from the war and went into dime store business for ourselves after a couple of years. We weren't actually undercapitalized. We had $6,000. And after 4 years, we owed $250,000. So a friend of mine that I owed more money to than I was worth, he said, you remind me of Winston Churchill. And I swelled up and I said, oh, is that right? He said, yes. He said, during the Battle of Britain, when he was speaking of the RAF, Winston Churchill said, at no time in history has so many owed so much to so few. He said, I don't know of any time in my business history that one man has owed so many for so long. But we did prosper in the dime store business, and we had 7 stores located in a couple of states, and we were making an awful lot of money. We'd never taken the Lord into our business, or we'd been tithing since we were 14. I'd grown up, I thought that was a way of life. But I'd never asked the Lord to have any part in my business. You see, I didn't need Him. I didn't put it in those words, but I was smart. If you didn't think so, you asked me, and I'd tell you how smart I was. I wanted to be a successful, dynamic young businessman and work my way to the top of the heap. And then I started walking with the Lord, and I'd heard these glowing testimonies, how, you know, when you receive Christ and start walking with Him, that everything turns out glorious. We were gloriously going bankrupt. The next 2 years after I started trying to walk with the Lord, the business began losing sales and losing profits in an ever-increasing spiral downward at an alarming rate. By 1959, we owed $262,000. We had 4 stores left out of 7. 3 of them were losing money, and a warehouse was losing money. Pat, I was with you about that time. I owed $78,000 personal notes to friends at 10% interest. How many friends can a man have? But a friend of mine named Dr. Charles Farrell came through town one night, and he and Gene Warren and I had a good meal together and some prayer and fellowship. The next morning he called me and he said, Jack, he said, I didn't know you were in such bad shape. And I said, who told you? He said, Gene Warren. I said, that makes 4 of us. There's you and Gene and me and God. I said, my creditors haven't found out yet. And I said, he said, how bad is it? I said, it's hopeless. And it's just hopeless. I said, there's no way out but bankruptcy. We've been putting it off and putting it off because I've always felt that was a way to cheat somebody legally. I said, but there's no way out. He said he had a buddy in California, had the same problem, and he had ulcers. And he finally come to the point, he said, Lord, he said, now, I put myself in this position because of my own greed for money. I said, that's me. He said, I owe more than I have. I said, that's me. He said, I have ulcers. I said, I don't have them yet, but I wake up in the middle of the night shaking. And he said, but Lord, he said, I'm your child. And he said, Jack, do you know 1 Peter 5:7? And I'd memorized it, you know, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. He said, have you ever done that? It was a long silence. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever taken this verse into your life and lived it? Cast all of your care on Jesus Christ because He cares for you? I hadn't. At least in my business, I hadn't. And I said, Chuck, I can't do it. I said, I got myself into this mess. I'll have to get myself out. He said, would you make it a matter of prayer? And I said, yeah, I sure will. For the next 6 weeks, almost hourly, this was my prayer, that I would be able to cast all of my care on Jesus Christ. Chuck Farrell had the audacity to suggest that God cared, number one, and number two, that He would show me the way to go if I had the guts to depend on Him. I don't know of any other way to say it. And I can't tell you even what happened because it doesn't make sense from a businessman's viewpoint. But during the next 6 weeks, darkness was turned into light and hopelessness into optimism. And the load was still there, gentlemen, but I wasn't carrying it anymore. And I finally got to the point where I could say, Lord, if you want me to go bankrupt, you just pull the plug and I'll go down the drain because my pride's the only thing to keep me from it. Maybe that's the best thing. And I'll make a deal with you, Lord. I'll keep working harder than ever. But you're going to have to take care of this worry department because it's killing me. And we still have that same agreement. And every time I start worrying, I said, Lord, forgive me. You know, I'll work and you worry. During the next month or two, the following things happened, none of which makes sense. We sold 2 stores for $73,000 without either one of the people even asking to see the books. Both of them were losing money. One chain had 400 stores that bought it. We applied for one single little display as a wholesaler out at an air base in Oklahoma City. Just one little display, 16 inches across. And a couple of weeks later in the mail, we got a catalog listing all the air bases and army bases from the Gulf of Texas to Canada through the middle part of the country. And they said, how many of these can you serve? I was in the back end of West Rogers Warehouse with a space about half as big as this room, not quite half as big. We had $13,000 worth of stock and owed $14 on it. Had one man working for us. But you know, my business is no problem for the Lord. It took me a long time to figure that out. Now, it's just been an exciting adventure walking with Him since that time. A couple of months ago, well, the head man over this army business that I serve now, our company serves in 7 states, He called me in. He said, Jack, he said, if they change a rule in the Pentagon, he said, you're out of business. He said, what are you going to do about it? If I call you up someday and say 97% of your business is gone. And I said, Henry, I'll shoot up a short prayer and I'll say, Lord, I sure appreciate you getting me out of debt with this good business during the last 5 years. And if you'll point me down which road you want me to go, I'll head that direction. Because you see, the business isn't really important. And the fact that all the debts were paid off last April, that's not really important either. But the important thing is, fellas, I've learned to depend upon Jesus Christ instead of the business. And if I go broke next week, and I may, never know. But you see, he's still in business. And he'll point me which direction that he wants me to go. I'd like to recommend him to you as the master navigator. He's never charted a course wrong. Thank you.